Yes, I know I have a light here behind my shoulder. No, I know it looks like the sun, and it is morning here in my laundry room in Fort Lauderdale, but no, that's not the sun. But I like how it comes and goes, kind of rises and sets over my shoulder there. If you're watching the laundry cam, hello everyone again. This is Martin Zender. Thank you for traveling with me yesterday as I described my angst, my sorrow, my vexations over our brother who's incarcerated here in Florida on various serious charges and very serious charges. So I would like you to write him. Let's start there. I talked about a video, possibility of a video conferencing. I haven't done that yet. I don't know how it works. I've talked to James about every other day, but it would be great if you could drop him a card or a note, write him a letter in a plain business envelope, such as the one you see here, and he would gladly receive it. He hardly gets any encouragement, right? I mean, he would love to hear from members of the body of Christ. Tell him that you love him, that the grace of God covers all, and that you will not leave him or forsake him. Of course, your letters are going to be read, so don't say anything about the case, really, if you happen to know anything about it. Just tell James that you're thinking about him. Throw some scriptures in there. Put a quote in there from the Concordant Literal New Testament or something, because he can only read the New King James Bible. Here is his address. James Ty Flanders, T-Y, middle name. James Ty Flanders, Okaloosa County Department of Corrections. That's O-K-A-L-O-O-S-A, Okaloosa County Department of Corrections. And the address is 1200 East James Lee Boulevard. That's East with an E. Can you see that? No. 1200, 1200 East E Capital, James Lee Boulevard, L-E-E Boulevard, Crestview, Florida. 32539. Please write this brother, and he is our brother, and encourage him. Tell him you're thinking about him. It will mean the world to him. Now, going back to Israel, we're entering now a section of Deuteronomy chapter 32, otherwise known as the Song of Moses, where Moses is reviewing the period of the prophets. And as I told you, when a prophet showed up in Israel, it was generally bad news because it means that their kings were failing. I remind you again why we're in the Song of Moses to begin with. It's because of this. I meant to tell you this Monday to remind you of this. Chapter 15 of the unveiling. I perceived, as it were, a glassy sea mixed with fire, and those who come off conquerors from the wild beast and from its image and from the name, the number of its name, standing on the glassy sea, having the lyres of the Lord God, and they are singing the song of Moses, the slave of God, and the song of the lambkin. So the song of Moses is an important part of Israel's history that provides a great encouragement to them, will provide a great encouragement to them in the coming day. And I think Israel is going to need a reason why. They're going to say, why is all this happening to us? No more appropriate words can explain this than beginning in verse 15 of Deuteronomy chapter 32. Jacob is eating and being satisfied. And as I told you earlier, this is good and bad. It's a two-edged sword because Israel becomes satisfied and smug because of the care of God. And stout is upright and he is kicking. Again, strange language. But you remember Jesus Christ used these words to Saul on the road to Damascus, kicking against the goads. He is kicking, kicking. We kick against what we have because we want more and we're not satisfied. So we're like an animal in a cage, pushing, kicking against it. We always feel limited. We always feel constrained. And we feel like God is just not allowing us to express ourselves. Why can't we make this business happen? Why can't we make more money? Why can't we make inroads with our family? And so we're kicking against constraints. God has us in limited places, it seems to us. And Israel's certainly going to seem that way. And I really can't blame Israel for looking at all the time that has gone by and saying to God, we are destined to rule the earth. Why hasn't it happened yet? This is why. God says to Israel, you are stout, you are thick, you are burly. Look at these three descriptive words, otherwise known as adjectives. You are stout, you are thick, you are burly. It's the same luscious adjectives that were used to describe Saul, King Saul, who Israel chose because of three things: stout, thick, burly. This is how Israel judges things, excuse me, by physical constitution, by how things look, by how beautiful people are, by how stout, by how thick, by how burly they are. Thick used to be a good thing. If you're a woman, I know women are very upset today because of the thin models who are starving themselves to have the so-called perfect body type. But I don't think here necessarily thick is talking about body type. Let's say the thickness of the skin. It's like, we're not hurt. Thickness of the skin, figuratively speaking, we're not sensitive. We are not susceptible to criticism, to judgment. And unfortunately, this is a generation of children that we have raised, they are immune to correction and to judgment and to advice. And Israel has become this way. They're thick, they're stout, they're burly, and he is leaving Eloah who makes him. He, Jacob, Israel, is leaving Eloah who makes him. This is the problem. God made them, let's say God made them stout, thick, and burly. Now that they've become that way, we don't need Elohim anymore, as if he is not only the creator, but the sustainer. It's like somebody, this is analogies, is coming to me on the spot. You know how strange these can be, but I'm going to go for it. It's like somebody who puts their plants out in the sun, and they water their plants, and their plants flourish, and they're so happy, and so they say, I don't need the sun anymore, because I have what I need. The sun is the source of your blessing. You don't cut off the source of your blessing. Or somebody who gets in great shape by refusing to eat cake and breads and sweets and everything, and they get in beautiful shape. They lose weight. They look good. And then they say, I'm feeling so great that now I can start eating this stuff again because I'm fine now. This is a trap we all fall in. Exercise the same way. I lift weights, I become burly, I become stout, I become thick, and then I don't have to do it anymore. No, it's a constant thing of sustenance. It's something you constantly need. The sun, you will say to the sun, what have you done for me lately? Or to those weights at the gym, what have you done for me lately? But you come to despise the very thing that got you to where you are because you become complacent and you forget that it's moment by moment dependence. And it's so easy for Israel to forget this and for us to forget it, that God in the wilderness with Israel, he gave them only enough food for the day. And this kept them close to him. God has done this with me for years, keeping me close to the edge money-wise, because otherwise it's a temptation when you have a cushion, when you can see months into the future, when you seem to be walking on a yellow brick road, then you become complacent. Then you forget and you think, maybe it was my own wisdom that got me here. And so you stop relying on the God, the very God, who keeps sustaining you. So that's why it's so great to be reminded that it's daily sustenance. You can't stop. You can't stop thanking God. If you're exercising, you can't stop, unfortunately. I'm sorry, but the minute you stop is the minute you begin falling apart. And the same with the sun. Don't need it anymore because my plants are flourishing. No, it's constant. The sun is a reminder that we need it every day. God's blessings come new every day. Israel took it for granted, and he is disgracing the rock of his salvation. Disgracing the rock. The undergirding of all things. They are causing him to be jealous by means of aliens. And so, again, they went away to false gods, forgetting the God from whom they were hewn, by whom they were made. They are sacrificing to demons which are not a god, gods whom they do not know. God has done this with all of us. He's established a track record. He has shown us how good he is over and over again. And it's easy to forget. I don't know why. I don't know why. I don't know why. He's the source of everything. New ones from nearby come. That is new gods. New gods come to Israel. No horror of them had your fathers. Your fathers had no horror of the false gods. They had no appreciation of the true, and they had no horror of the false. And I've been trying to instill in you for many years a horror of the false gods who run Christianity. This is not your source. It never has been your source of wisdom. Oh, my goodness. Some people despise the scriptures. This is a phenomenon, especially the Pentecostal types who really think you are unspiritual. They think I am unspiritual when I dissect words, when I study the Word of God, when I get into detail. Why are you so unspiritual, Martin? You're supposed to just flow in the Spirit. And these people have words of God that come to them. And oh, it's so easy. And they talk about Jesus Christ. And I say, who? And they say, well, you know, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Who? Jesus. Who? And I press upon them that they would not even know the name Jesus Christ if they had not gotten it from the scriptures. What body of work tells us of the sacrifice of Christ? The scriptures. How do they know anything at all about salvation? The scriptures. They're criticizing me or us for being so unspiritual that we need the word. These people are so smug that they really don't think they need the written word of God anymore, because they're just flowing, you see. They've, again, classic example of forgetting the source. You forgot where you got all these blessings in the first place. And if you would consistently stay with these same scriptures that brought you the plan of salvation in the first place, of which you would know nothing apart from the scriptures, then maybe you would continue to learn things. You would continue to see that there are other parts of the Bible besides Pentecost, and then you would soon realize that your religion of Pentecostalism and flowing in the Spirit is not spiritual after all, but it's soulish, it's emotional. And so these kinds of people leave their God. They leave the Jesus Christ that the scriptures told them about, and they leave the very scriptures. And they are taken up with other gods, small g gods, gods that promise them wealth, health, constant wealth, constant health, a god that promises them, you don't need the written word, the inspired word of God. You are your own god. And from this kernel comes the whole New Age movement, where God is inside of you. That is another extreme deception, departure from truth. Another classic example of people who live and breathe only by the power of God, only by the Spirit of God in them. People who have enlightenment, what little enlightenment they may have, only because God has opened up windows for them. And then they despise that God. They don't know that God. They chase other gods. And now they think that they can survive independently of God. We don't need God. If we once did need him, we don't need him anymore, because now we realize that we are gods. It's not us and God. We are our own gods. We are our own discerners of truth. And what it is, I'm realizing this as I'm going through this, habitually human, habitually evil, really, to forget, to so easily forget the source of everything that we have, and to think that it's now coming from a new source. Israel chases new gods. Oh, this new God is really the one who's blessing me. No, I'm sorry, but that's not the case. And so when Israel reads the Song of Moses, they're going to be able, those who are in the know, those who are becoming enlightened, the remnant, they're going to realize our history is just freighted with this deception, with this forgetting God. And those who are blessed spiritually will then, I know and I pray, come to a realization of the truth that Yahweh is their all. And without Him, they're going nowhere. But with Him, they're walking into the kingdom.